of 40 years, who retired last year, passed away this week, Pastor Timothy Winters. And we just want to express our condolences to that church, with a partner with us in ministry. He was a good friend of mine. I called him Uncle Tim, and he's been here forever, and one of the pillars of our community. So he went to home to be with the Lord. Second thing, I want to encourage all of y'all who have taken the tithe challenge. We're about halfway through, and I know that God has blessed you. We get emails all the time about what God's doing in your life. There also have been several hundred people who have made the tithe challenge, but didn't give anything. So we want to encourage y'all to start it. And last week we did a poll. We did we downloaded some app called Good Snitch, where you gave comments about people doing good things in the church and things that we would like to be changed, and even in the community. We want to thank y'all for downloading that app, and we read all the comments to the staff, and they were excited about to hear what you had to say, both good and things to be corrected. So thank you very much on that. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for church? Yes. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight. Thank you for what you're going to teach us. Satan, we acknowledge that you are aware of what's going on, and we acknowledge that you are aware of what we're going to talk about. But in Jesus' name, by the authority that he has given us as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, we bind you in Jesus' name, and we cast you out of this service and out of the lives of everybody listening. And we say your assignment and your demon's assignment in our life is over. That's right. We break any allegiance we have to you, and we cast you out. We command you to be gone from our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. Say word. Very good. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark. So my wife and I, we take a vacation, try to every year, and we got tricked into a vacation in Hawaii about 10, 13 years ago, and we've been back almost every year since. I can relax just buying the ticket to Hawaii. And so a couple years ago on one of our trips, I was walking on this cliff. It was about 300 feet down the rocks. And I'm walking along the cliff, and this presence came upon me, and this voice I heard say to me in a very kind way, "Why don't you just go ahead and jump?" And I was like, you know, I don't want to be thinking about that. Why am I thinking about jumping off the cliff? And it just came again, "Go ahead and jump." And I looked down and I said, nah, I don't think I'll do that. And then I'm walking and it just kept urging me to jump. And I just felt like in my chest a heat and an urgency to, like, this battle to get me to jump off the cliff. And I didn't obviously do that. Sometimes I wake up, and you may have this too, where you wake up and before you open your eyes, you hear something telling you not to get out of bed and that you're going to waste your time, that you are a failure, and it's not going to do you any good to get out of bed. Your day, you're not going to get done what you got to get done. Anybody hear that in your head? Amen. A friend of mine who actually is a pastor on staff told me maybe 6 months ago, I was talking to him about this kind of stuff, and he said that he was going through a period where he was telling himself, "I hate you." Now, he don't have issues like that anyway, but he was just hearing this voice in his head saying, "I hate you," about himself. And he's like, "Where's that coming from?" Because he doesn't hate himself, he doesn't think. He's like, just came in his head. Sometimes people will have arguments with people. You ever have an argument with someone in your head? And you say, "I'm going to say this. And if when I say this, they say this. Then if they say this, I'm going to say this. And they better not say this. and you have this argument, and it gets, you know, hour later, you're fighting in your head, and someone's trying to talk to you. You're like, oh, what? And then you see the person, and you walk up to them, and you're already all jawed up, you're all fisted up, and then they go, hey, and you're like, that's right, you better not say nothing in your head. Anybody? What is that? Now, we started a series a few weeks ago called Kingdom Come, where we talked about thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We saw a few weeks ago that God created the heavens and the earth just like he wanted. He said it was good. Then he created man and woman in his image and said it was good. And all that together he said was very good. And he told man, I want you to have dominion over the earth. In other words, I want you to rule the earth in a way that I would maintain the glory that my creation already gives me. I want you to subdue the earth, and that's the authority I'm giving you. You have dominion over the earth. And then last week we saw the devil come and deceive Adam and Eve and steal from them their authority. And consequently, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. And here we are today, having been created to rule the earth. And God created us to have dominion. God created us to be a tool through which his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, where we would be conduits of his love, his compassion, his wisdom, and his power. Yet we find ourselves weak compared to what we were created to be. We find ourselves enslaved and subdued and addicted and in bondage, when in fact we are to be the subduer and the controller for God's glory. Jesus comes, he dies on the cross, rises from the dead, and he takes back the authority that the devil has, and he says, I'm offering it to you back, and I want to empower you, believe people, to be believers in me, and I want to empower you to have authority over the devil. And so here we are today, Christians, and I'm going to propose to you that we don't walk in all the power that God originally intended us to have, that God's will is not being done on earth as he wants in and through us, because we have conversations and relationships with evil. That every single one of us in this room have these conversations in our head, and we're not having conversations with ourselves, we're having conversations with evil. Now, angels are ministering spirits. God created angels to minister to us, to serve us. When Jesus was praying right before he was arrested, an angel came and strengthened him. When he prayed after he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, an angel strengthened him. Angels minister to us. Angels have power. One angel killed 186,000 soldiers in one night. They have power. They can travel from heaven here. The Bible says that angels carry our prayers to heaven, and we're going to do a whole series on angels. I'm just giving you a big picture because I want to talk about demons. Angels are persons. What does that mean? That they can have relationship with you. They can communicate to you. When Mary went to the tomb, it was an angel there, and he said, Jesus rose from the dead. There's all kind of conversations with angels in the Bible. And so what we're going to look at today is that demons are fallen angels, because we know Satan was an angel. Satan, his name was Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer. So Lucifer is an angel that was fallen. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus saw Lucifer get thrown out of heaven like lightning. In other words, Lucifer was a top angel, because they come in ranks, and he was closest to God, and he said, I want to be God. I want to be on the throne of God. And God said, I don't think so, and threw him out of heaven like lightning. There was no, you know, exit interview. There was no, let's try to work this out. There was no 30-day probation. Go to human resources and get your paperwork. It was, jajak, you're gone. And the Bible says in Revelation that Satan took one-third of the angels with him. They became demons. Okay? So let's read this story in the Bible real quick. What we're going to read is about a man who's demon-possessed. And by the way, as a Christian, you can't be demon-possessed. Possession is where they own you. As a Christian, you can be demonized. And what that means is that you have influence in your life. You have evil influence in your life. Now, you may say, well, I don't believe that. That's fine, but you just need to explain why you're a Christian and go to church yet you watch pornography every day. You need to explain why you're a Christian and you're still cursing every day. You need to explain why you're a Christian and you're still sleeping around like a little freak. And we're going to talk honest here? Okay, we talked about pornography one day, and we got all these emails and people saying, you guys talk about pornography, why are you bringing pornography into church? I'm not coming back. I said, fine, go to another church. But let me tell you something, half the guys in here watch pornography. So what do you mean you're not going to talk? There is nothing we can't talk about. There ain't nothing we can't talk about. We're talking about anything. One out of every two guys watch pornography, and one out of every six women. And the day pornography is watched more than any other day is Sunday. So tell me you can't talk about pornography. Come on, that's ridiculous. So we can talk about anything. So as a Christian, oh yeah, I'm praising God. You still got thoughts that God doesn't approve of. Can I get an amen? You still got desires that God doesn't approve of. I mean, you stuck as the devil trying to instigate you. He's not just going to leave you alone. He just can't take over, but he can get a little stronghold over here, a stronghold over here, a part of your life that he is just moving you around like a little puppet. We got to end that. So let's read this real story real quick. This is about a demon-possessed man who's going to get a little context. It says, verse 1, chapter 5 of Mark, it says, then they came to the other side of the sea of the country, the Gadarenes, chapter 5, verse 1. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately he met him out of the tombs, a man who had an unclean spirit. Everybody say unclean spirit. Ooh, unclean spirit is going to speak to you, telling you you're fat, you're ugly, you're a failure, you're too short, you're too tall, you're too light, you're too dark, you're too rich, you're too poor. Whatever it is you have, he's going to tell you it's no good. Because he's a liar. Then it says, he had been his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind this man, not even with chains, because they had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped. I love this story. This is a demonic man you're going to see with over 2,000 demons, and the demons worship. You might be saying, that can't be right. Oh, it's right. Here, why? The demons were angels. They know who Jesus is. They tell you don't worship. Don't lift your hands up. Don't sing loud. Stand there with your arms closed. You've heard that. Be cool. And if Jesus was here, they'd be on their face. Why? They're liars. Why are they worshiping him? Because they know he's worthy. But they're not going to tell you not to worship because they're lying to you, playing you for a sucker. Don't worship. Jesus comes. Oh, there's no music here. Ain't nobody prompting them. No music. They just see him and go boom to the ground. Why? Because they know he's worthy. And then it says, verse 7, they cried out with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? They know exactly who he is. I beg you, Son of God, I beg you by God that you do not torment me. And Jesus said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Jesus speaks to the demon. And by the way, you are going to speak to demons today. In a minute, you speak to them anyway, but you're going to speak to them the way you should. And then it says, he said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. And a large herd of swine was feeding on the mountains. And the demons begged and said, send us into the swine that we may enter. And Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered. There were 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what had happened, and then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed, and he was sitting, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Satan is an angel that got cast down. He took a third of the angels with him. They became demons, and demons, like angels, are powerful. They can cause you to be sick. They can cause you to be blind. They can cause you to be mute. They can cause you to be crippled. Now, not all blind, mute, sick, and crippled people are demon-possessed. But in the Bible, Jesus healed someone, said, you deaf, dumb, and spirit, come out of him. And he was able to speak and hear. Another lady was crippled for 18 years, and Jesus said, Satan has bound her for 18 years, and she was healed. He rebuked fever. Demons cause weather changes. They are very powerful. They are very organized. And they are persons. Just like angels are persons. What does that mean? Is that they can speak to you. They can influence your feelings. They can lie to you. They can have a relationship with you. What does that mean? Is that as you're walking, entertaining these thoughts in your head, you are having a conversation with someone. You're having a conversation with someone. Evil. I'm going to read a list. It's in your notes, a list of spirits. Because you may hear someone say, oh, you got a spirit of, and think that's a bunch of garbage. You might not have the spirit of, but the spirit of is real. One we just heard about, an unclean spirit. Have you ever been around a guy who's just dirty? Say hey if you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. You just kind of get in it and you can just feel. He's looking at you, but you can feel something all over your body. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's a spiritual. I mean, I've had women tell me about other guys. Hopefully they don't get that from me, but they get other guys. Boom, please. And they'll say, I was around him, and he was just like, ugh. It's spiritual. Fellas, you know that girl that has a lustful spirit. And it's not only that she's lusting you, but you are drawn to her. Now, I know some women know what they're doing when they trick themselves out. They know exactly when they go to the store and you want to buy that, he will want all of this when I put that on. Ladies, yes. You don't have to admit that this is you, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you, ladies? Yes. But then you have that girl that has a lustful spirit, and she could just stand there. And it's something that is drawing you. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I was at this event. And my wife was at the event. My wife is my pit bull. Security. Women have radar for other women. They got radar for guys, too. They got radar. They just got radar. They just sense stuff. And when they said something wrong, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. Some of y'all don't know Will Robinson. That's an old people joke. But my wife is standing over there, and my wife, she doesn't say a whole lot compared to me. And, you know, I got to talk to everybody, blah, 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 blah. And so she'll just stand on the side, and she'll just watch. She watches either like this or like this. Those are her two positions that when she's concerned, she's like. So I'm talking, and this woman in a red dress, I never forget this, and I read the red dress, came up to me and started talking, and she was, you know, Miss Thang. And my wife's over there, and my wife says nothing until later in the day when I forget and my guard is down, and she's going to get an honest answer. So she'll tell me, like, we'll be going to bed that night. She'll go, the lady in the red dress. And I'm like, what? what about her? And then she'll say, I don't like her. And that's the whole conversation. Spiritual. Some people have a spirit that is lustful or a spirit that's dirty. It's gossipy. It's critical. It's just something they can't get away from it. You have a spirit of ill will, a spirit of jealousy, a lying spirit. Some people cannot tell the truth. What is your name? What happened was when I was born, what is your name? Is it Jim? Is it John? It's not our question. They can't tell the truth. A spirit of judgment, a spirit of deep sleep, an evil spirit. I was in juvenile hall talking to a kid. Happened to be a white kid. They go in and tell me, this kid needs help. Can you come talk to him? I said, no problem. I go in the cell. And juvenile hall hallways are all metal and concrete. Everything echoes when you yell in the hall. And I'm in there talking to this kid. He starts telling me about, he's a little white supremacist, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm witnessing to him. And then he starts cursing at me, calling me the N-word, everything. So I said, I guess it's time for me to leave. So I started walking out. And he's yelling up the hall, you this, you that, you this, don't come back. I hate you, da, da, da. I said, okay. But that was not the kid. It was spiritual. The devil wants us, all made in God's image, to fight each other when in fact he is the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spiritual forces of darkness, the principalities of evil. So when you have problems with people, it's not them. They are a victim as you are a victim of this evil world. In a spiritual level. Doesn't mean they don't have responsibility, but it means we need to fight to set them free so they can know the Father that created them in his image. The devil wants you to think you were created in the image of an ape or the image of a knucklehead or the image of a failure or an animal when God said, I created you in my image. And if he can get you not to think that you are anything but the image of God, he can win. So you walk around acting like the animal he wants you to think you are. Or the loser that he wants you to think you are. Or the failure he wants you to think you are. The ugly person he wants you to think you are. The dumb person he wants you to think you are. When you are none of that. God says, I made you in my image. I don't make mistakes. I don't make junk. And so you have all that in your head. And then you think, that person's making me feel bad. That person's making me feel bad. And the devil's playing us all for a fool. God says, I've given you authority to be free from all of that. And acknowledge the spiritual battles that you are in. Now, there's some people say, well, those are just bad people. They're doing bad things, there's no doubt. But there are people loved by God that God can turn into amazing people. And so this kid, I knew, he's just, I'll come back. I did. I went back. He got saved. His father abused him. I said, is your father black or white? He said, my father's white. I said, I thought you said you were a white supremacist. So if your white father beat you, how are you a white supremacist when your white father beat you? And yet you hate black people. They never beat you. I don't get that. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. The devil wants us like this to each other for any reason we can make up. I don't like that guy because he's from that street. You know how brainless that is? He's from that street. That makes him a bad person. Huh? The devil. Smart. He's smart. And he's got some of y'all in here hating your own self. That you abuse your own body. That you treat yourself like a loser. Like a slut. Like a criminal. Like an idiot. When God says, you are my child. You are my child. And yet you treat yourself like garbage. Because he has convinced you to do that. And he's convinced you to do that, telling you that if you do that, you're going to feel better. And you never feel better. That's called a liar. And then you blame God. That's called dumb. Evil spirit. Spirit of Philistines. Spirit of fear. Woo! Don't raise your hand. But you can if you want. How many of y'all? I mean, I'm not going to have it's up to you. But I'm not asking you to. So many of y'all, people, are motivated by fear. I don't want to offend anybody. I want to be politically correct. Do you know that being politically correct is offensive? I've been to places where they say, listen, can you pray, but don't pray in Jesus' name because you don't want to offend anybody. I say, you just offended me. So who decides who gets offended? How is it that I can be offended, but you don't have to be offended? I don't get that. I'm a bigot because I don't believe what you believe, but you're not a bigot for not believing what I believe. So how is that fair? So you walk around, You walk around in fear. I don't want to offend that person. I don't want to say this. I don't want to carry my Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to correct that person. I don't want to tell that person they're being rude. I can't say nothing. That's exactly how the devil wants when Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, free to what, though? Not free to do what you want. Free to do what he wants. Not free to do what you want. Free to do what he wants. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. Unfortunately, we make it about him when we make it about us. You think it's about you, but it's really about him. You need to say, no, it's about the Lord. It's about thy will be done on earth through me, in me, as it is in heaven. Your perfect love in me, your perfect power in me, your perfect joy in me, and I want it to flow through me. That's what God wants. That's what God created you for. The devil says, I gotta ruin that. So you have these spirits speaking to you. They'll speak to you jealousy. Then they'll speak to you gossip. Then they'll speak to you fear. Then they'll speak to you evil. Then they'll speak to you gossip. Then they'll speak to you fear. And you just walk around and that is your truth. Fear, gossip, control, pride, conceit, jealousy, envy. Those are the motivations that drive you every day. And then you come to church and try to get a little God. And then you go back out into the jungle and fear, jealousy, bitterness, conceit. And that's how you fight. Like an animal. It's a jungle. Who am I going to beat? Who am I going to take over? Survival of the fittest. Mentality, survival of the fittest. I got to get mine at your expense. That is satanic. That is animal. God says, no. If I want you to have it, I'll give it to you. Just trust me. You obey me. Don't take. Be a giver, and I'll give you more than you give. Just trust me. No, I got to take because I'm an animal. I got to control. That's why guys can't stay married because they got to control a woman instead of serving a woman. God says, I want you to serve her. I want you to lay your life down. Nah, she's my woman. That's why you see dudes walk around women like this. Chokehold. Yeah, it's my baby right here. And then you got the girl, her hands in the neck. Yeah, it's my boyfriend. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. And you got, and by the way, let me finish my thing here. You got the spirit of fear. You got the spirit of the world. You got the discouraging spirit. You got the spirit of infirmity. Spirit of mutant death, deaf and mute spirit. Do you know that some people are sick? It's spiritual. Some diseases, illnesses, mental illnesses, blindness, deaf, some spiritual. Read the Bible. Jesus said, you deaf and mute spirit, come out. You fever, come out. Paralytic, out. Devil has bound her up for 18 years, out. Be gone. When God gave you the Holy Spirit, he gave you the same spirit he had when he healed people. The whole reason we're having this series, and I'll tell this full story in a few weeks. The whole reason we're having this series is because my wife and I got prayed for, and then that night, we had an experience where we just fell out. Someone prayed for us and we fell out on the ground. And we're like, yo, that day, same day, we said, we got to go pray for our friend who was dying of a disease. He got healed that night. And we said, oh, okay, we got to tell people about this. So, that was in October. It's been a long, interesting ride of learning all about that, which I probably will still learn for the rest of my life. But in a nutshell, the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus when he was healing is the same Holy Spirit available to all of us. We had a baptism recently, and we had at a football conference here in San Diego, we baptized about 40 NFL guys. One of the players that was there was Ray Rice, who's running back with the Ravens. He's about 5'8", 210. If he's watching, Ray, I'm not sure how much you weigh, but he's a big brother. He's about that tall, but he's just a stocky brother, one of the best running backs in the NFL. And the one thing you hate is the little guys. They are so a pain in the neck to hit because they're so small and compact, you can't get them down. Anyway, if you took Ray today and put him on a Pop Warner team today, and he was his same height, weight, and speed, but he played on a Pop Warner team of 10-year-olds. You would expect that he would run touchdowns? Can I get an amen? It's not a trick question. Amen? Okay, so if you took him today and you took all that power and speed and skill and put it on a Pop Warner team, he would score a touchdown every time. And the only reason he would not score every time is that you didn't use him. He's on the team, but he's on the bench. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 8, you have. And the only reason he's not doing miracles in your life, you're not using him. He's not any powerless. There is no such thing as a powerless God. He can only be one level of power. It just depends on how much you use him. How much you access him. The devil doesn't want you to access him. He doesn't even want you to believe you can do it. We asked one of our questions, do you think you should do the miracles that Jesus did? People said, no. Of course, that's what the devil wants you to not expect it. He just wants you to expect to come to church and do a little church thing and then go about your business. That's exactly where he wants you. To think, I did all that I can do, which was attend the service and listen to a sermon. And then you can walk out here as powerless as you were before you came in. That's what he wants. Because one of his most powerful weapons is that he is anonymous. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, you will not resist him if you don't think he's there. In other words, y'all get sick, you take NyQuil. Now, NyQuil's cool. I take NyQuil sometimes. But if you got a spiritual issue, he gonna laugh at NyQuil. I have a counselor, nothing against counselors. Some of y'all got issues up here, you go to a counselor. Counselor is cool. But the spiritual aspect of your issues, the counselor will not address at all. And if what's really driving you cuckoo is a spirit that's lying to you, deceiving you, playing with your mind, that spirit's not going anywhere with your counseling. Some of y'all have bitterness in your heart. Someone did something to you. And you can't let it go because you keep hearing this voice saying they were wrong. And you are justified. And they never said sorry. Who is the one suffering? It's like taking poison, hoping they suffer. I had a lady come to me years ago when we first started the church. I was standing at the front door at our original sanctuary location in San Diego State. 12 years ago this happened, I can't remember. And she walked up to me and said, I just need to confess to you, I've been mad at you for 8 years. Eight. And I don't remember if I said this, I remember thinking it. Who are you? What? I haven't thought of you in 8 years. Because I don't even remember ever meeting you. I don't know what this is about. So all that time, she's been arguing in her head about something. Who's instigating that? And you can't, and here's what the Bible says. God said, how can you love God, say you love God that you've never seen, yet you hate your brother? How you do that? Oh, I'm a good Christian. I love the Lord. Yeah. Really? And the devil just, that's how he wants. And he wants to be in the background instigating all of this stuff in your life. And you're over here getting counseling. You're over here getting high. You're over here getting drunk. You're over here having sex, watching pornography, trying to make you feel good. And he's like, I got you going every which way wrong. He's got you feeling bad, and then he gives you a bad antidote for your pain to make more drama, and then another antidote to make drama for that. And he's got you in this vicious cycle. And then you never acknowledge him. And then you blame God because God's not answering your prayers. He's mastermind. I have a friend of mine who does deliverance, demonic deliverance. And he was teaching me about deliverance. And he said, when people think of demon possession, they always think of and the exorcist. Now, I don't know if y'all saw the original exorcist. I didn't see the latest ones, that exorcist number one, two, three, four, five, six, and they got 20 of them now. And I haven't seen them, but I'm telling you, there's no way they were better than the first one. Can I get an amen? The first one, which is the only one I saw, so I'm not really fair to say, but I'm just telling you, the first one was scary. Linda Blair, her head went all the way around 360. Ah, but her body did not move. She was puking out guacamole before guacamole was levitating off the bed. I mean, it was, woo, it was scary. My brother and I slept in the same bed the night we saw it, and we were back to back. I'm looking at the wall because I don't want anything to come through the wall, and he's looking at the room. You think I'm lying? And I said, Mark. He said, what? I went, ah. We were scared to death. I said, Mark, don't move, man. We got to keep your eyes open all night. But when you think of, you know, the demons, all that crazy stuff, demons don't do that normally unless they are threatened. Normally, demon possession is where you have an habitual habit that is self-destructive, God-dishonoring, that you cannot shake. Because the demon doesn't ever want you to consider it's demonic. They just want you to think it's something wrong with you. Because if you don't think it's demonic, you will never address and pray against the demonic. You will deal with the symptom. And thus you will be enslaved for your whole life. They will say, forgive me, I know I have alcoholics in my family, and people who have been set free from alcoholics, they say, I am an alcoholic for the rest of your life. I somewhat get that. I used to do cocaine. I am not a recovering cocaine addict. The old is gone. I don't have to hold on to that label. Now, someone else will give me that label. I say, you can give me that label all you want. That's not what I am. I see myself as a person in Christ that God has completely cleansed. Now, does it mean you shouldn't have your guidelines? Most definitely. Don't go near a bar. You need to do that. But at some point, God is going to, can completely cleanse you where it's like you never did it. And you need to say, the devil, you be gone. So here's what we're going to do right now, real quick, before we go any further. I want you to say this out loud with me. We are going to, you have to command this evil spirit out of your life. You can't ask, oh, please leave me alone. They're like, please. We used to say as we kids, Negro, please. I ain't going anywhere. That doesn't apply to all of you, obviously. There is no asking. There is commanding. Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. And Matthew 28:19-20, he says, all authority has been given to me. And then he wants to give that authority to you. And what does that mean? You do with that authority? That all the spiritual forces of evil are under your authority because it's really the authority of Christ that you have. And so what you have to do is command the evil spirits out of your life. That's why when we pray for people to be healed, which we will do at the end of the service, we say if there's a spirit of infirmity, we command you to be gone. And there are times when people get healed. Not all the time. Like that. So here's what I want you to say. I want you to say this out loud. Say, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge your presence, devil.
I acknowledge your presence, devil.
And I command you,
out of my life.
Your assignment,
in my life
is over.
In Jesus' name,
by the authority he has given me,
I rebuke you
out of my life.
And it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
When I wake up in the morning and I hear that voice saying, don't get out of bed. How many of y'all ever heard that before? Look at that. How is that a coincidence? We don't have the same mental issue. I have mental issues, but I doubt you have the same mental issues. We have the same enemy. How many of you heard you say you're a failure? Anybody ever tell you you're a failure in your head? Comes out of nowhere. Don't even try. It's not going to work. Devil doesn't want you. Every single day, when I hear that voice or any other voice about bitterness or jealousy or lust or whatever it is, I say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you out of my head. I rebuke you out of my life. I take authority over those thoughts and I take them captive and make my thoughts obedient to Christ, that I think what God wants me to think, that I feel what God wants me to feel. You are in a spiritual battle. Next week, we're going to talk about relationships, agreements you make with the devil, and I'll give you a little preview, a preview. A preview is this. You hear the voice say, you're a failure, and then you say, you're right. You just made an agreement. And then you say, implicitly, which means you implied it, or explicitly, which you really say it, you say, tell me what I should do. I think I'm going to start a business. Oh, that ain't going to work. Oh, yeah, huh, devil? That's going to be hard. So what should I do? You do it all the time. And the devil says, come over here. I'll tell you what you should do. And as soon as you do that, you put yourself in his care. And then you come to church like this with the devil. And you say, come on, devil. I go, okay, we'll go to church. Don't praise God. Okay. Don't go down there when they ask. Okay. They're just trying to get your money. There, that's right. And then you leave. And then you talk about you being a Christian. And you just got suckered again. Again. And then I tell you all the stuff, and he said, that's only pastors. You really think he lives like that? Oh, you know, he probably beats his wife. Oh, you know, he probably don't really do that. Oh, guess what I heard? I still on Twitter this about him. And you go, yeah, because you're weak in your mind and you believe anything. Because you want to believe it, because it makes you feel better about you not doing it. Oh, oh. And you gossip about people because you try to pull them down because you feel you need to be above people because he made you feel like you're below people when they ain't even thinking about you. And you're going, all this stuff, and God's saying, doesn't that take a lot of energy? You know you can let all that go by telling him, be gone. And you know what, God? The devil, I want to think good things about everybody. I want to think that God loves everybody and they're in a struggle like me with you, and I want to help them get free of your junk. So I'm not going to believe your junk. I'm going to love them no matter what I think I know, because trust me, you do not know what other people are going through, because you don't even know your own self. How many of you know you don't know your own self? Let's see how many lies we got in here. How many of you really, really know everything about yourself? You don't. And yet you can know somebody that you've never met. That's just backwards. And you swear you know them too. You will swear they did this, they said that. They meant this when they looked over like that. Wow! This is what my son does when something crazy happens. He does this. And what this means is that he's getting ready to smack himself in the head and go, wow, like that. And when it's really ridiculous, he goes like this. Wow, how could that be true? First thing that needs to happen, Jesus Christ, I need you to be my Savior. I need you to be my Savior. I need all the authority and power you've given me so I can deal with myself and that I can exercise authority over evil in my life. And once I get that authority, and once I have Christ in my life and the Holy Spirit living inside of me, the same Spirit that rose people from the dead, rose Christ from the dead and everybody else, and the same Spirit that cast out demons, the same Spirit that healed, I want that same Spirit. It's the only Spirit you can get. And once I have that Spirit, I want that Holy Spirit to purify my mind and my heart so I can live like Jesus. And then I can start exercising authority over all this junk in my head and in my mind. And I can be a pure man and woman of God. Now, if you don't want that, why do you come to church? I'll tell you why. For some of you, you're just playing a game. And you are wasting your time. Now, hopefully the word of God will get in you. You come long enough, something will happen. But you're not getting any points for being here. A friend of mine, he was the spiritual leader of our team. He was a guy who discipled me. He was there 1 year. And everybody knew he was the man of God on the team. And this player came up to him and said, yo, Sherm, this girl wants to have a sex with me, but she's married. And I know adultery's wrong, so should I have adultery with her? Commit adultery with her? And Sherman said to this player, are you a Christian? And he said, no. And Sherman said, well, go ahead and commit adultery with her. He's like, really? He said, yeah, because you're going to hell anyway, so it doesn't really matter if you don't do it. You're not going to go to heaven because you're not going to do it. You're going to go to hell. So you just, but what it message, he wasn't really telling him to do it, but he was trying to say is, you're either all in or you're not. That's what don't say if I do this one good thing, you're going to go to heaven. Because you got 50,000 other bad things you're going to get jacked up for. You might as well either repent and get right and really do it right, or don't. Because if you're not, you're in the middle, you're warm, and God says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I don't want warm people. I want hot. I want hot. I want people on fire. I met someone recently. I don't tell you his name, but I haven't seen someone on fire for God like this in a long time. And this guy is so on fire. It's probably one of the most exciting things happening in my life is spending time with this guy. Because he is on fire. And he's like, and he's a famous person that is like a little kid with a little notebook and a pencil doing like this. Like a little kid. And I'm like, God, whoo! And I'm like, oh, I want some of that. I want some of that. God wants people on fire. And if he can find someone on fire, he's going to be like, let's go. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. He don't want to burn. He don't want to let it go. Let's go. And this guy has all these girls calling him because he's like that, was like that. Just, hey, can I come over? Can I come over? Can I fly over and see you? And he's like, nah. But you got a girlfriend? Nah, it's a guy. I met a guy. And they're like, really? Yeah, his name is Jesus. Can I teach you how to pray? Oh, for reals. This dude is jacked. You'll meet him one day. You'll meet him. When he's ready, you'll meet him. And he is on fire. And God, I know I'm jacked up. I'll probably call him driving home. I'm jacked up. I know God is jacked up. God's like, can I find somebody? Can I find somebody that wants all that I have to give? And not people who just want to play the game. So we're going to pray. And I'm going to have the PST, our pastoral support team, wherever they are, to come on up in all the campuses. We're going to pray, and we're going to give you an opportunity to pray to be saved or to be prayed for or to get more of God. But I'm telling you that the demonic influence in your life that is very, very subtle, you have to speak against and be very sensitive to, because you can get lulled into lies. And you have to believe. Some of y'all sitting here like this. Man, is this stuff really true? Man, I don't know. You have to believe that God has so much more for you. I've been saved 30 years. It'll be 30 years in April. And God is saying to me, today as I stand here before you, he has a challenge, the biggest challenge in my life, that I'm contemplating right now. And he's saying to me, how far you want to go? And I am straight up scared of this step of faith what most I'm scared about is if he's telling me to do it or is it a trick by the devil. It's too good to be true. And I'm like, God, is this what you want me to do or is it what? And it's scary, but God is saying to me, I think, I'm getting a lot of counsel, is how far you want to go? I'm like, God, I want to go all the way. He says, let's go there. I'm like, okay. But dang. And I'll tell you what it is. Not now, but in time. But it's like, if it happens, well, I'll tell you what happens, what it is, whether it happens or not. But when I know definitively, I'm going to tell you. But it's like, whoa, he's doing the same thing to me. The reason I'm telling you this, I'm in the same boat I'm asking you, to go into some place by faith saying, God, I just got to trust you because I don't know if I could do that. That's the bottom line. I don't know if I could do that, but I am absolutely willing to trust you. So I'm walking there. The same thing I'm asking you to do, I'm doing right now. So, we're going to pray in a minute, and you're going to have a chance. These people want to pray for you. If you want to be healed, if you want some more of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you need to get saved, we're going to say one prayer, and it's a complete prayer of surrender. Okay? Bow your heads and close your eyes. All campuses, bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I pray people are mad right now. I pray that even they are offended that you have played them so bad. You have played them for a fool so bad. I pray that they know in their heart that what they heard tonight is true. And that you've been lying to them. And that the devil's been lying to them and deceiving them and tricking them. He's got them in bondage. And I pray that they want to be free like they've never been free before. And I pray they realize this is the opportunity. They need spiritual freedom. So if you would like to experience all that God has for you, whether it be first you got to get saved, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you want to be healed of something, you want to be prayed for because you need to be encouraged, whatever, I want you to pray this prayer with me of denouncing evil in your life and submitting yourself to the Lord Jesus. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, you created me in your image. You desire to fill me with your Spirit. And you want me to have dominion over myself, over the world. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, is risen, and that all authority is in his hand. Jesus, please forgive me. Be my Savior. Grant me your authority. Give me the wisdom to exercise that authority over evil in my life, over deception in my life. Set me free. In Jesus' name. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing, you are saying, I am claiming victory in my life. Don't be played by a fool because the devil's speaking to you even now. Man, you don't need to do that. That's for them. No, it's for you. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you pray that prayer and you're saying, Lord, I want it all. I don't care what anybody thinks. I want to go all the way with you. I don't want to be a spectator anymore. I want you to stand to your feet and acknowledge Christ in your life. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 We see you all over. We see you in the balcony. God bless you. Very good. God.